Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Weather's going to get a little dicey here for the drive home, just it's a little dicey for the Bears at the quarterback on offense. And a little Bears thing today, like back into Bears season, at least for a couple of days here with the combine.
Still dizzy?
No, I'm not dizzy. And I'm not really out of breath, but I'm a little lightheaded.
Lightheaded.
So we planked today. Not
good,
bad.
Because I didn't get a chance to work out
Neither
today.
Did I.
So
no.
That's my workout.
Yes.
That's it.
You know you're old.
Well,
you're
right.
That's
right. I'm going to celebrate tonight with a glass of wine.
You should, as you should every night. So Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace met the media. I want to play. I'll play on your demand. What interested you most? Out of everything you heard, who said what?
I will, because I have been one that believes in their belief in their quarterback, the reiteration from Ryan Pace that they believe in Mitch, to me, while not a surprise, I think it's always going to be a meaningful and impactful statement.
We believe in. We believe in the player. We believe in the person. We believe in the trajectory that he's on. We believe we need to be better around him, you know, and that's what this time of year is all about, you know, and that's through things we're doing with coaches, things we're doing with scheme, things we're doing with personnel we're adding, and then his growth as a young player. They all grow at different rates, and it's just projecting his growth.
The more I hear it, the more I am reassured, it's reaffirming to me that this is the direction they're going.
Now, Ryan Pace did talk about acquiring another quarterback.
The question
was posed to him, what are you looking for in a second quarterback in regards of competition?
Yeah, and I say competition. I mean, the best teams we've been a part of, there's competition everywhere. So that could be at corner and safety and outside linebacker and quarterback, and that's all things we're looking at. And we'll see. We're sorting through it. You know, there's a lot of different avenues to improve our team, whether it's free agency or the draft, and that includes that position, and we'll see going forward.
Free agency or the draft. No trade. Didn't reference some trade.
Do you think he just didn't mean it, or do you think they don't want to give anything up to sign a guy when they already believe in Mitch?
I think, A, he's in love. I think, B, I don't think they have any wiggle room. They're married for a number of reasons. And one of them is you don't have the capacity to be flexible in a lot of spots. This is who they are.
Yeah. Here's more Pace, and then I'll give you the draft picks that the Bears are going to have this year.
Yeah, I think when we look at last season, and that's really what, you know, the last couple months and the coming months are all about, is it's a multitude of factors, you know, and it's not just one person, it's not just the quarterback, it's a number of factors, and for us that started January 1st, and, you know, we made some staff changes, and, you know, evaluating our own roster and establishing our needs, and now it's just attacking that, you know, and it's creating competition everywhere, and that's creating competition at quarterback and throughout our entire roster.
I think that he, like one of the resounding themes that you hear is about getting better around Mitch as well. Not just the quarterback. Yes, he needs to get better. And Matt Nagy talked about it as well. But we need to get better around him.
Either way, Ryan Pace is at fault, is he not?
No doubt.
So, like, if Mitch isn't good, that's on Ryan Pace.
Correct.
If Mitch wasn't good because of the guys around him, that's on Ryan Pace.
It is, and also I think that there was, again, I don't know that I've heard the sound yet, but I saw the quote where Matt Nagy talked about it being unfair to ask players to conform to the offense and that he is going to conform the offense to the strength of his players.
Which one was that one, Meller? Because I remember that too, and I think Carmen and Yurko played that, and it's sort of, my eyebrows were raised because it was in direct confliction with everything Nagy showed us last year.
Yes.
So he talked about basically like he had to build around the players instead of the players fitting into his
system.
How many
times did we come in last year after games and go, why, you know, Matt's a smart guy and we like some of the creative things that he's done in the past. Why did he do this? Why isn't he getting Mitch out here? Why did this happen? He sees the same things we see. Why is he making these decisions? Well, I think with the benefit of hindsight, it was something that I did hear people talk about this last year, that they're trying to force this quarterback to play in his system. and there's no flexibility there. And I think what Matt learned this year is maybe the quarterback isn't capable of doing the things he wants him to do in the system. So Matt's going to have to adapt his system to the player.
Yeah, and we can keep trying to speak pace. What does he mean by this? And today also Ryan Pace did say, or he didn't say really anything when it came to Trubisky's played 3 years. Entering year four by May, you have to exercise that fifth year option. It is a guaranteed fifth year only for injury. So the Bears could exercise this fifth year. That means he's signed through the fifth year, but they could still cut him. Unless yes. he's hurt, and then right. it kicks in. So why is he not? Is that the loophole there that we're looking at? Since he's been apprehensive to endorse him for the fifth year, could there be something thrown in there that will make us go,
He doesn't.
Why he's not committing to him for a fifth year yet.
Yeah, he's got till what is it? May 2nd,
right?
May whatever. I don't think it's. I think there's no reason. There's no reason to do it until you get to May 2nd.
But here's my thing. If the season doesn't start till when? September 9th, September 10th? What year is it? What day does the season start?
Somewhere in there.
So he's committing to him as a starter. You don't have to commit to your starter till August or September. So if you don't have to commit to this fifth-year option till May. May is before September, so why is he not willing to commit to something that he needs to get in by May, but he is willing to commit to something that's happening in September?
Well, I mean, you do keep yourself available for all scenarios. What happens if, for whatever reason, Deshaun Watson becomes available in a trade?
He still wouldn't. That's what would happen.
I know, but my point is... Why put yourself in that box that you know you're going to get in until you have to get into it? Like, who knows what could happen between now and then? The likelihood of something, a franchise caliber quarterback becomes available. Like, whoever that guy is.
Just wants out. Or they want to trade Dak Prescott. They landed Brady.
So
next thing you know, they want to trade Dak Prescott.
Right. So
I don't know.
Right. But I mean, why would you, until you have to do it, even though your intention is
so
there.
So then why announce starter? Why say he's the starter? Say, as of now, we still believe in Mitch. We're going to let the season play out. Just like he said in May, we're going to let May play out. Why not just say, we're going to let training camp play out?
Because he doesn't believe that Dak Prescott's going to be available. He doesn't believe that Deshaun Watson is going to be made available. That's your you. There's no reason to commit to the fifth-year option until you have to commit to the fifth-year option. So maybe something strange or crazy does open up, and if you've already committed to Mitch, then what?
Here's Matt Nagy too. He did confirm this that he's calling plays.
Yeah, I'll be calling the plays, and we do have a lot of guys that have called plays, and so for me, y'all don't get to see it because you're not in the meetings with us, but a lot of times we'll talk through, you know, why would you make this call or that call, and that's growth in myself too as a play caller.
A lot of self-scouting from Nagy today. I'll play you more coming up. If you want to weigh in on this, though, 312-332-3776.
I don't think it's what everyone wanted to hear, but this was the most likely presentation. Mitch is my quarterback. Matt's calling plays. Everyone wants an upgraded quarterback, and a lot of people wanted Matt to cede play calling to somebody else.
But at least he did say some things, like you said, about, hey, I'm willing now to fit guys into the way they do it best,
that's
as
the way
opposed to
happen.
Have them fit into my
that's
offense.
That's growth, and that's kind of what we talked about going into his third season as an NFL coach, that you can grow through the process.
Scott's in Lake Forest. Hey, Scotty, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Mitch is totally capable. It has to do with Nagy being a threat in play calling, and if he's going to only throw the ball less than 10 yards per play, there's no threat in the game. I've watched every game. I've gone to the games. I don't see any threat throughout the course of a game. Third and 10, and we're throwing out patterns. It just doesn't make any sense. And I know Mitch is more than capable. My question to Mitch, if you ever get him on, does he know how to read defenses or doesn't he? It's a simple question. It's a yes, no. It's not a maybe, and it's not Nagy saying, oh, let me practice a little bit more. You either go into the game and know your job or you don't. And if he doesn't, he doesn't belong out there.
Well, Scott, let me ask you. You say you watch all the games. Well, I mean, do you think he does a good job? I'll ask you. Do you think he does a good job reading defenses and processing things?
No. Do you want to hear Nagy describe that? No, he said yes. He didn't want to hear Nagy talk about it. But listen to this. Does this sound like a guy who knows how to process and read? This is what Nagy said today on Mitch needing to be obsessed.
At the end of the exit interviews that we had with those guys, I mean, I meet with every single player and every single coach. And, you know, you get some valuable time with them and spend some time with Mitchell and him understanding us, basically just talking through what he needs to do here in that time that we're not allowed to be together. And the one thing that he is able to do is get onto the film on his own and really hammer through, you know, what he's looking at. Now, I think that for him, the processing part is what you have to get to a point to where you're so obsessed that no matter what you're doing, you're always watching film. I mean, we're at a point now where, hey, in these next several months before they get back in here, April 20th or whenever that is, he's a complete expert at knowing he needs to know it better than me. And I think that's the goal. And he'll tell you that wasn't the case last year. That's not a slight on him. He's in year two of it. But I want him to make sure that that's where he gets to in the future.
What does that say?
That they're not 100% on the same page. Look, these have been my concerns watching him, whether it was the John Fox offense or the Matt Nagy offense. When you watch, there's uncertainty. There's a lack of fundamentals, and when the lack of certainty starts to show itself, then everything kind of it's like a domino effect. When you're not trusting what you're seeing, then your mechanics break down. Now you're sailing the ball over a wide open wide receiver. Some guys you put on the film and you know they know exactly what to do with football. I don't see that yet.
Matt, Mark is in Crystal Lake. Mark, you're on ESPN 1000.
Good evening. One thing I thought about is in terms of why they're not picking up the fifth-year option just yet. It could be as simple as, he just went through surgery. Let's see how he rehabs and if he's on the right track. And I know the injury doesn't matter for this year. It's only a guarantee for next year. But if they see any sort of sign where it's like, oh, he might not necessarily come out of this, they don't want to be on the hook for that fifth year.
That's not a bad point, Mark. That's not a bad point. Why would you guarantee it or commit now when he's under injury if his shoulder may never be right?
I wouldn't read too much into it. I mean, they've got a lot to get after. They got to look at offensive linemen. They got to look at tight ends. They've got to fill some spots on defense. They've got to decide whether or not to pay Nick Kwiatkowski. They got other things to do. You know, committing to Mitch's fifth year, while it is a very simple procedure, I'm not sure that it's necessary that they do it right now.
I'm going to play something for you from Matt Nagy. Does it anger you about results, or do you understand what the coach was trying to get at? Plus, the phone number to react is 332-3776. That's coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
The Bears won't back down when it comes to Mitchell Trubisky. They are all in. He's our starter. We believe in him. He needs to be obsessed. We like where he's going to go.
I think you heard the coach talk about tailoring things, not specifically, but changing the way he does some things, maybe to enhance those things that Mitch does well. You heard a lot of talk about them being better in other areas.
Does this upset you, or do you understand what he's trying to say here? This is Matt Nagy talking about Mitch needs more direction, but listen to the ending part of this. Do you agree, or is it stupid?
Some more direction in regards to the process, and when I say that is under he is young still, and I know we keep saying that, but he is. But you also now you give direction, and now he needs to follow it, and that's going to be what we're really focused on is making sure that he does that, and don't worry about results. Who cares? Worry about the process, and if he does that, we'll be in good shape.
Well, you got to take it in context. What are we talking about? When are we worried about the results? I think that you need to be concerned about the results even in training camp, because there were signs this past year that there was trouble ahead. So if you see some of the same trouble in training camp, I would think you would go into the season with some apprehension.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know what he's talking about in terms of the results. Mini camp, okay, I get it. The closer you get to the season, the more important
the scoreboard counts.
It becomes for us because of what we've seen. Now, look, they're going to play in the preseason based on what some other people are saying. There may be a change in philosophy.
Yes, that's what I've heard recently.
So, look, if you see some of the same troubling stuff, breakdown in mechanics, not processing things, I don't think you do have to follow some of the results.
312-332-3776. Jarrad Payton is driving back from the combine from WGN Sports.
Well, be safe because the weather's not great.
Yeah,
out there.
And Jarrett's one of our favorite guys. We just saw him at the Super Bowl in Miami. He was feeling very good back at home at the U, and they were presenting the Man of the Year trophy, and Jarrett was just great with his time, as always, and he just called in now, wanted to talk to us about Trubisky. What's up, Jarrett?
What's up, guys? Listen, my cameraman, Ike Isaac, man, we're driving back from
Indy. He's the best.
He is the best, but we got you all the way in Indy, and we're trying to, like, wow, creep through buildings so we could hear you guys talk yesterday and today, so it's a... been some conversation in today about Trubisky, and I think a lot of fans that I've been listening to on the radio, they all have their points, but it comes down to, are we going to see him take that next step, and does this organization truly believe what they're saying? And that's what I'm trying to figure out.
What do you think?
Well, I know this is, listening to Pace today, I had mixed emotions, because I know he kind of has to say those things. This is his guy. He hitched his wagon to number 10, and we all knew that. And it's coming down to crunch time right now, especially right now. His fourth year, this is the time. We thought that step was going to be taken last season, but it wasn't. And now the pressure is on them even more. They want to see him succeed, but you got to start looking for, if that doesn't happen, you have to set yourself up for an opportunity. If he's not producing by week four, week five,
right,
you can't throw the season away. You have to have somebody that's capable. So we're talking about drafting a quarterback, or if we're talking about even going out in free agency, to me, if you get a veteran, Tommy, you know this, having a veteran that knows and understands the game, you're in a better position not to be throwing away an entire season.
Yeah.
And Silva, you talked about it. With this defense, they're ready to win right now.
Jarrad, when you listen to both the coach and the general manager, do you get the impression, and you're there, we're just kind of we're at a distance here, do you get the impression that maybe the general manager has more faith in the current quarterback than the coach, or do you think they're both on the same page?
Yeah, let me just be honest here. Yeah, I really do. I believe that when it comes down to the general manager, he still believes in his heart that Trubisky can turn around. I haven't always had that feeling that I believe that Nagy really embraced the whole Trubisky, you know, the whole Trubisky thing. I believe if he looked at quarterbacks and was studying quarterbacks, I just had in my heart that maybe wasn't his guy. And, you know, now the thing is bringing in some of these offensive minds, it seems like maybe things can change a little bit, hopefully, for Trubisky, but to me, it's not just him. He's not just the issue. And Matt Nagy today, I saw a little bit of a swagger in him, and his ability to say, listen, this is on me too, that I need to maybe give up a little bit and listen a little bit, and we need to collaborate a little bit more. To me, that's a sign that he's heading in the right direction, but that's a lot of words. We got to see that in action when they start taking the field this summer.
All right, Jarrett. Are you on tonight on the new GN Sports?
I won't be on tonight, but I will be on tomorrow night. Dan's going to be on tonight.
All right. So that awesome. That's a 10:30 now, right? Is that 10 or 10:30?
It's 10:30. 10:30 to 11, and I know that's probably the time that Waddle's probably doing his 1,000 push-ups and his crunches and stuff. So,
Jarrett, at this age, I'm usually asleep for 2 hours, not because I don't want to watch, but because my body gives out on me at an early time.
Well, listen, man, I understand. Listen, I love you guys. Thank you for taking my call. Ike wanted me to tell you guys hello, and he loves you guys, and you guys are doing great.
Hold on. How long can you plank for?
Not 8 hours, but I probably could do at least a good maybe 3 hours, probably.
Get out of here, mother of mercy.
I'm telling you right now, I could run a 4.6 or a 4.740 right now in some dress shoes. Right now.
I don't buy that either. I don't buy either of them.
I buy that he could run a 4.6 or a 4.7 in dress shoes before I think he could do, what'd you say?
Three hours?
About 3 hours. Yeah. You haven't seen my abs, Tom? You know what? Just Google it.
That's three.
All right. We're not Googling it. No, yeah. He should come in and plank one day from 3 to 6.
Yeah.
Abdallah, I knew you would say, you know what, we'll make it happen. I would love to come in and sit down with you guys one day.
Of course. Well, that's an open invite. We should do like a charity thing where for every minute you plank, you raise another dollar from our donations or something like that.
Of course.
All right. Well, I got to get practicing then. I got to practice a little bit. Hey, all right, guys.
Travel safe.
He's the best. Yeah. And Ike, his cameraman that he's talking about.
Good people.
Ike has been, if you've watched WGN News and WGN Sports and you've seen highlights and interviews, Ike's been the guy behind that camera going back to the Jordan years.
Yep.
He has been a guy who has seen everything in this sports town, but he's never in front of the camera. He's the guy behind the camera. Mitchell and Des Plaines. Oh, boy. We're going from Jarrett Payton to Mitchell and Des Plaines. What's up, Mitchell?
Hey, what's up, Mark? Mr. Rotto, how you doing?
Mitchell.
Bottom line is this, folks. Okay, to say that don't worry about the results, just focus on the process. Yeah, you say that to somebody who's a third or fourth string that works, you know, that's on the practice squad or in the XFL, but you don't say that for your second overall pick entering into his fourth year. The bottom line is this, Mark. This is a beta testing, Mitch. They have absolutely zero confidence. If they really cared about this franchise, they would go out and sign a decent veteran quarterback. And let Mitch sit down for a few years and figure out what his, you know, assignments are. But the fact that Nagy has to remind everybody that he's not ready really goes back to the fact that he isn't ready for prime time. Until the Bears get to the level where, you know, where you had Dicka, you know, when he drafted McMahon, did you think he said, oh, you know, we're developing him? No, he started right away. Do you think Lovie Smith, when he drafted Kyle Orton, and even though that, you know, he had to go in early, they had an 11-5 season. And the bottom line is that we've turned upside down in the city about Mitchell Trubisky. The fact is that there's zero critical thinkers out there. The fact that we have to blame other people, like the offensive line, the person who made Mitchell Trubisky's pancakes, they're all part of the problem. No, it's not. The bottom line is this, folks. We have a systemic problem with people that don't know how to make decisions. So what I'm looking forward to 2020 is some people to step up because I would like us to be competitive to beat Aaron Rodgers. Well, guess what, folks? That's not happening as of today. I hope that somebody has some, you know, sense to bring in somebody. And I would like to ask you both, who do you think that somebody will be?
Well, tomorrow we have the fantasy draft, where tomorrow we are doing with available or quarterbacks that we believe are available.
Mitchell's not going to like where I go with this.
And whoever gets it right, we're going to put $25 into the hopper. And if someone on our team is signed or traded for by the Bears,
how many rounds are we drafting?
I think we come up with the entire list.
Okay. I say at least four rounds.
I think we draft 16. Until the list is gone.
Until someone says Chase Daniel comes back.
Well, I mean, like, I think Andy Dalton is signed under contract, right? But he's on the list.
He'll either be traded or there's thought that he will be released if they can't find anybody.
Do you think we could come up with more than 16 names? Because I'm just going 4 times 4 here.
I don't know. Like, Cam Newton's on the list. Derek Carr's on the list. All those guys are signed. But, I mean, they're available to be drafted.
But draft picks are available, too, right? Like, I can take Jalen.
I thought we were talking about a backup quarterback.
Well, if they draft Jalen in the second round, that's your backup.
Yeah. Do you think so? I mean,
You're not starting Jalen Hurts.
You're not drafting a quarterback in the second.
Don't you think you get a veteran quarterback?
No way.
If you draft a quarterback in the second round, he is your backup.
You think so?
Yes.
And then you bring in what's his name, who was the third string guy here last year?
Chase Daniel?
David
Fales. No.
Bray?
Tyler Bray.
I don't know. And I go back to what Mitchell said.
If you want to use a draft, go ahead. I mean, if you that's who you want to pick.
I don't fully agree with Mitchell. I mean, look, none of us are satisfied with what we saw from the quarterback last year. But they
don't worry about results. Who cares? They worry about the process.
They couldn't run the football. Their offensive line struggled. They didn't have a tight end. And I didn't think that the coach was on the same page as the quarterback. So, look, I'm not absolving Mitch. But Mitch wasn't the only problem last year.
But the one point that he did bring up that I do agree with, you hear that from Nagy, from like a Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
The first year he's behind Alex Smith. Hey, Patrick, you're developing. Don't worry that you're not playing. Don't worry about that you're a backup. Don't worry about the results. There's a process to learning how to be a quarterback. This is Mitch's fourth year. If anything is put up or shut up time, it's now. It's not about the process. Now it is totally about the results.
No doubt, because at some point the defensive window will shut.
Yeah. So do you want to weigh in on this? 312-332-3776. We'll continue to talk about our Bears. And then the last half hour, too, I want to get after this whole gender reveal thing and if it's cool or not. And Waddle may have taken a trip to the worst place on earth.
Oh, boy.
All that in the final half hour of Waddle and Sylvie.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Talking a lot of Bears today, and also good catch by Adam Abdallah, because I don't even watch for it anymore, about Jim Boylan quotes.
Oh, boy.
But Jim Boylan, Matt Nagy's not the only one saying results don't matter today. Jim Boylan is saying that. Jim Boylan, who just met the media, says, I'm not worried about my personal record or my win-loss record. I've been asked to establish a style of play.
Bad.
To have a disciplined approach.
Bad.
And develop a young group of guys. Didn't happen, in my opinion, we are doing that.
You're not developing young guys. Because Coby White has scored better than 30 points in each of his last two games coming off the bench. That doesn't equate to...
Finally.
Doesn't equate to having developed him. What happened to Lauri Markkanen? I mean, I don't think that you can look at the body of work this year and say that the young guys have developed in a significant way. Now, some of that development has been stalled by injury as well, but I mean, what was the biggest beef for the biggest complaints prior to the injuries? Nobody's getting any better. I'm just not buying it.
It's silly, and I'm telling you, Waddle, for years and years in talking Chicago sports, Jim Boylan will be the new standard in when we make fun of a coach. When we get
more than Bevington.
More than Bevington now.
Alpo Suhonen.
Yes. I always said he's with those guys. I believe now that this will be the standard. When we mock a coach, we will ask, is he Jim Boylan bad?
Hell yeah.
I think that is. And I don't know if it's easy to reach. I think in the year and a half that he's been the Bulls head coach, he has reached a new record low. And
it's
not like I can't even get mad anymore. Like I
stopped watching the post game press conferences.
Like you don't even used care to enjoy anymore. Yeah. Abdallah, didn't you and Bleck, I saw on the podcast, say something like, and Waddle's been on this for a long time, but you guys are still on. Should they just fire him on the spot already and try to coach from March 1st on with a better coach? Or
my point is, you look around, you look at what Zach LaVine, how he reacts when he, like, on the court, he's saying, why the F are you calling a timeout down 10 with 30s? Like, on the court, he's saying this. You've got them having a meeting afterwards. When Boylan took over, and he took over for Hoiberg, and he said, I want a team that represents the name across the chest. I want a name that says Chicago. He's embarrassing the franchise. All these quotes, all these timeouts, every time one of your players has a little tantrum on the court, every time you hear fire guard packs, why is that? You know why? It's because Jim Boylan is your coach. If you're going to do that, send a message to the league that you, not just these reports that you're going to make front office changes, send a message to the league that you're going to do something and try to change change the culture here because he's ruining it. He's ruining any credibility. If you have any credibility left in the league whatsoever, Jim Boylan is single-handedly ruining it.
You know what? We were asking the question about the emergency goalie yesterday, and this was a listener's tweet, and I agree with it. I believe that if today you gave me the dry erase board and you had Jim Boylan leave the building, that I could coach the Bulls as well, if not better, than Jim Boylan can tonight.
Do you have the heart? Do you have the whatever the thing
need,
is?
Right. You just need to call a timeout.
Did I see someone? I thought I read something somewhere as well. As not only are the timeouts odd, but the efficiency coming out of those coaching moments, the tie down,
that they do timeouts, worse.
That there is no, there's no execution.
Because they're not listening to it.
Right.
But my point is,
so you're calling these timeouts in useless situations, and coming out of the timeout, the team isn't performing efficiently for however much time's left on the clock. So they're basically, you're not getting anything out of that.
Yeah, it's funny. If it wasn't so sad, it would be funny.
Hell yeah.
312-332-3776. Here's the Nagy Bite. Then I'll take more of your calls here. 332-3776. This is what you were referring to a little bit earlier about Matt Nagy and learning a lot.
I learned a lot last year in so many different ways, on and off the field as a head coach. I learned a lot as a play caller with players, how they work, with scheme, with coaches. And so I'm at a point right now after 2 years in this role where I'm just so fired up and excited. I feel rejuvenated, and I feel I'm refreshed in a lot of different ways and really just taking on a lot of thoughts.
This is why I didn't want him to give up play calling duties, which I know that was like
that
everyone
was
is wanting. Everyone wants. I get it, and I understood why there was criticism for it. He's in his third year. He called plays for a handful of games in Kansas City. He's got to look at what he did wrong last year, and he's got to change. Like, I want to see if Matt Nagy makes the play calling changes that everyone thinks he should, then he will show growth. I want to see him redeem himself. I want to see him do things that make sense. I want to see him, because I still believe he can be a good coach in this league, I want to see him make progress and get better at calling plays and putting game plans together.
Robert's in the West Loop. Hey, Robert, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys, great show.
Thank you.
Quick thought. The best coaches always tailor their play calling to what's effective on the roster. What the players do best is what Matt Nagy has to analyze to or adapt to. Like, you can't just say, oh, this is his scheme, this is his offense. No, it's really, what do the players do good and how do I adjust? It's really that simple. You get that in business, you get that in football, in all sports, you always got to adjust to what you have, and he, for some reason, just never did that. Now, it was good to see him talk about change. It's great. It's good talk. I want to see that. But until he does it, it's going to be the same crap as last year.
Well, there's no doubt you're spot on, and I'm with you, Robert. The change was delayed because I think he was holding out, thinking that he could somehow, some way, get Mitch to do the things in his offense that he needs him to do. And I think he felt like at some point it will click. I think what he's realized now is that's not possible. I think he's probably looked at all the film. He's looked at where things worked and where things didn't work. And now he's come to the conclusion that he can't run this offense, and we don't have the weapons to run the offense I'd like to run. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tailor my offense around my talent.
And maybe he is worried about the results that, hey, this is my coaching record.
There's no doubt.
You know, and this is on me now, so I've got to find a way to make it work.
Yes.
Patrick is in Crown Point. Patrick, I believe you have a very popular question based on what I hear from Bears fans. What do you got?
All right. This offense is predicated on a stud tight end from everything I can gather. And we have flops at tight end. Why wouldn't we consider putting Cordell Patterson in that position?
You know, I've heard that before, Patrick. I don't think he's a good enough route runner. And while he's very fast, I don't think he's big enough. Like, the U position, the tight end position, when you got guys like Kelce and others that do it, look, Kelce's too athletic for linebackers. He's too big for safeties. He's a pain in the ass to try to guard because he plays the tight end position like a wide receiver. So you know what he forces you to do, basically, in a lot of instances, is try to keep sometimes bigger people on the field. But you can't cover him with a safety. I think you can cover Cordarrelle Patterson with a safety because I don't think he's big enough to push guys around. And I don't think he's a good enough route runner to just kind of outbeat the, you know, outplay them.
He was, like you said, he was drafted as a wide receiver. Yes. He was a bust as a wide receiver.
Correct.
He can't, he's not fluid. He is actually, he's listed as 238, but he's never been like a blocker either.
No.
So he cannot be a pass catcher.
No, I'm with you. I don't think he's your answer at tight end.
But Tom's in Maryville. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
The previous caller hit half of my point. In 18, we had a good blocking tight end for most of the year, I think, and we had a really good running back. We did not have those two things last year. I believe that is 50% of the problem. Instead of going out and finding a good backup, which still might be a good idea for Mitch, we need to get a good blocking right side tight end and a decent running back. Now, your rookie from last year, I don't know. Going to have to wait another year to see what he does. But those are the two things I think that are missing from the 12 and 4 team and what they did last year.
Yeah,
I'll hang up and I'll listen to your thoughts.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah.
Thanks, Tom. I'm still not on the, boy, this team really misses Jordan Howard team. I'm just not.
More people are.
I know
they are. These days.
Ryan Pace said earlier today that, I don't know if you have it, Sylvie, but he said that they like their running backs room. They like the room that they have. They're not going to add to it.
Let me remind people, in 2018, Jordan Howard averaged 3.7 yards per carry. You can replace that. Now, you've got to find somebody that's competent. I think David Montgomery's competent. You've got to find an offensive line that can create some space, and you've got to commit to running the football. Again, if you look at what Jordan did, Jordan had a very nice 3 years in this town. His first year, he averaged 5.2 yards per carry. His second year, he averaged 4.1 yards per carry. His last year, he averaged 3.7 yards per carry, and he was going to be a free agent after the 19 season. What were you going to do? I wasn't going to pay him. Were you going to pay him?
No, uh-uh. Not
so why not
the way
get something in return
for him? I
don't
even pay top running backs.
So I'm still not. Run the football better, yes. But I don't believe you ran the football poorly last year because you didn't have Jordan Howard in your huddle.
All right, we got to get to this gender reveal. So a Cubs player today actually helped with the gender reveal. Thumbs up or thumbs down to this whole thing that's been going on for the last few years. That's next.
To Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Cap and Company.
Javi Baez. I thought what he had to say about not being ready to play, I did not think that came off very well. He's a professional baseball player making millions of dollars. You can't get yourself ready to play? That's embarrassing. But it also takes a shot at Joe Maddon, the lack of accountability.
Think you missed something?
But again, Javi's an adult. He's a man. And if you can't get yourself ready to play, that's on you, dude.
The podcast is out there.
Get the all-new ESPN Chicago app today.
Cap and Company, weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Guys, want to tell you about my friends at Upwork. Upwork is the world's largest network of independent professionals, devs, UI designers, writers, strategists, you name it, Upwork has it. Whatever skills your scope demand, Upwork is how. Pros available short or long term, one time or as often as you need them. And they're proven, rated, and reviewed. Need a front end developer for just a few months? How about an SEO specialist for, say, 6 weeks? Or a team of designers and devs all in one place? Upwork is how. When you need in-demand talent on demand, Upwork is how.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
All right, so Waddle did it the old-fashioned way for four children. You found out when they were born what sex they were.
That is correct. We had no knowledge prior to their births what their gender was.
We went to like one of these places where they show you on a television screen. So you go at like 20 weeks and...
As opposed to a drive-in? I mean, where are they going to show it to you?
Well, no, I mean, like, that's the gender reveal. So I guess what happens is they... Who finds out? How do they find out? Does the doctor give the info to everybody but the parents?
Maybe there is a gender reveal specialist.
Yeah, I think that's probably the situation.
So what you do is you send someone to the doctor to find out what the sex of your child is going to be.
You could also write it down like on a piece of paper and put it in an envelope.
So
and
they
then you
write
can
it
give
down
it to,
and
like,
they don't give it to the people
yeah,
there.
You but give
they,
it to someone.
And then you give it to like your mom, and then your mom sets up something where there's a balloon that you have to pop and either pink or blue powder comes out.
Yes.
And in some cases.
Right, and the gender reveal goes wrong on Twitter is
those
fantastic.
Are some of the funnier Twitter memes are the gender reveals that go wrong.
So today at the Cubs game, before the game, David Bodie was asked to do the gender reveal. I'm surprised he did hit the ball.
He's a professional hitter, hit a baseball.
I'm not sure if they asked him directly or they were kind of bouncing. It was unclear because Marquis sent out a clip.
Right.
And it was unclear if Bodie was the first person they asked or the first person who agreed to be in the to actually do it for the couple.
You think they were shooting higher earlier? Like
they wanted Javi doesn't come onto the field
it's
until
weird,
the game starts.
But why would David Bodie be the choice if you were asking someone to be, you know, to do the gender reveal?
Family friend, I don't know.
Maybe a year ago coming off that Grand Slam, you thought, hey, the sky's the limit for Bodie. But now after last year,
I think he was probably the most available guy.
Yes, I agree.
Well, no disrespect meant to Bodie, but
so the two parents are there in the front row, right off the Cubs dugout at Sloan Park, and David Bodie approaches and they ask him, "Can you do the gender reveal?"
So what they do?
And so what did he do? Did he actually throw it up and then swing and hit it?
No, someone threw the ball up and he hit it.
All right, so someone underhanded to him and then he hit it, and then it exploded and it was pink. So it's a girl.
Congratulations.
Do you like?
I don't care.
You don't care. You're unmoved by
it. I tell people this. First of all, you do you. I'll do me.
No, they're awful. I hate them.
Says the man with a dog.
The first thing if that day ever comes, that'll be the first stipulation. It'll be no gender reveals.
Listen, here's the deal, though, Adam. I wouldn't do it either. But if somebody's passionate about it, why
won't
you
let them be
careful?
There's too many
ways to reveal it instead of just going to the doctor.
Plus, that's also, some people have a very strong reaction to what gender they're going to have, and I would never want to document that on video. Like, if someone was like,
"For you,"
it's not, I understand that, but you don't know what you're going to do when that happens. If you really wanted a boy, like, what if they would have done that, right? What if David Bodie hits that? And it came out pink, right? And it's a girl. What if someone in the family really wanted a boy?
It would
and
be then fantastic you got them on camera. For Twitter. He guys turns around and stomps off. It's awesome television.
You know what? Like, if you ever watch shows that do any type of renovation or fix it, a lot of times they'll have
the reveal.
They'll go, we revisit. What happened? We go back 6 months later. We go back a year later.
This house sucks.
I want to go back on the gender reveal that went wrong. The gender reveal that told you were having a girl. But look, every ultrasound is not...
Are baby boy twins?
It's not 100% accurate all the time. I want to go back to the family who finds out that they were having a girl, and then all of a sudden, on the day of labor... On the birthday,
whoops!
All of a sudden, wait a minute, that's not a girl.
Right.
We had David Bodie hit a baseball. It was pink, and now I got a boy here.
What am
going
I
going
to do with all these clothes?
Yeah. I want the revisit of that.
I'm like Waddle. I sort of chuckle at
listen,
it. But
yeah, I'm not going to tell you how to raise your kid. I'm not going to tell you how to find out what the sex of your child is. I know you are.
And then, I got thoughts.
And then, so here's what I wanted to ask you guys.
You need to call me, okay? I'll sit and talk with you for as long as you want. But when you and Whitney decide, I'm here for you if you want to have a conversation. Just to talk some sense into you.
I appreciate
not
that.
To not
You're
have
need
children,
to give them that,
yeah. But yeah. But I'm going to have a conversation with you. I am.
By the way, so Waddle today tried to get his driver's license renewed. He failed. The line was so long.
In two spots.
Two spots. My question for you is this. This doesn't include prison. This doesn't include, like, the real horrible places. But in life, of all the places you have to go, whether it's waiting in line at the post office to deliver a package, trying to renew a license at the DMV, going grocery shopping, whatever is your hell on earth in context, is the DMV atop the power rankings?
It's in the team photo.
That's pretty good.
It's in the team photo.
Like, can you give me somewhere worse?
I'm where thinking. You, I'm
like
trying
the
to
dentist?
Think. Yeah, I don't like people touching my teeth.
The gas station line at Costco on a Saturday afternoon.
You wait in line for gas?
Yeah, but you're in the car.
I don't, but every time I see that line, I'm like...
But you're in the car and you're listening to the radio or...
I guess, but it's a long line. I'm not... It seems...
Is it like the 70s when gas is available here?
To me,
everyone's in line?
And this is nothing against our fine postal workers. We have a lot of postal workers that listen to us, but it is the post office. I hate going to the post office.
I'd rather go to the post... I went to the post office yesterday. It was a fine experience.
You go to the post office in off hours. It's not a... Not even an issue.
I even bought a roll of stamps. I know that everyone will chuckle at that.
I would say this. I don't have kids, and I'm not allowed to comment on kids. You guys don't live in the city. You're not allowed to comment on city post offices, okay? It is a mess.
I lived in the city for 20 years.
And it's a mess, isn't it?
I will say
it's a mess.
The suburban post offices are definitely a little bit quicker about turning things around. You know what? Next time you need a mail lettered, Abdallah, I'll take it there for you.
Thank you.
This is a good
mail letter.
A lettered mail. Is what
a letter
it
mail.
Yeah, it's fine.
I
understood what
you
meant.
You knew what I meant.
Stroke. It's fine. I got it. Yeah.
All right, this is something to expand on tomorrow. We're going to have our fantasy draft tomorrow of quarterbacks who we think the Bears could sign.
And I am going, and I will stay in line until I get my driver's license tomorrow.
Full report.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. See if you could spot the Waddle at a local DMV tomorrow morning. Thanks to JD and Trey Wingo. We've got Stan Bowman coming up with Boyle and Brian Hanley in just 2 minutes to lead off the post-game show. It was very good talking about the direction of this team, whether you believe it or not. And then we've got the best of 1,000 back. It's Black and Abdallah.
Whoa!
It's always fun for your drive home at 7 o'clock, live and local.
It's going to be an idiot reveal tonight between the two of them.
It's twins.
Oh! The idiot reveal. Is it Black or is it Abdallah?
Sorry,
it's
guys.
It's
just a joke. It's both.
Thanks to Adam Abdallah and Jeff Meller. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
It's the classic.
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson.
Don't pick
including
on
myself,
me.
Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.